This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
So it was no secret heading into the draft that both Abdallah and I really liked Jalen Hurts. He was someone we watched in college. Yeah, he lost his starting gig to probably one of the all-time great college quarterbacks in college football history, Tua Tagovailoa. He unseated Jalen Hurts as the starter. He took over. He had the higher hype coming in. So Jalen lost the gig. He goes to Oklahoma. He impressed everyone. Jalen Hurts last year at Oklahoma was so much better than what anyone expected. No one thought that Jalen Hurts last year at Oklahoma would put up a statistical season and win the games that he won with Oklahoma the way that Kyler Murray did, the way that Baker Mayfield did, the way that other star quarterbacks have done. Jalen Hurts was outstanding. His ability to be a good teammate, to lead that team, and to really improve his passing in his time in college was something that I thought was worthwhile of taking a draft pick on in this year's draft. And we saw Jalen Hurts go to the Philadelphia Eagles with the 53rd pick in the second round. And you say to yourself, you say, okay, that's a team that didn't need a quarterback. And they select Jalen Hurts. And you wonder if that's the steal of the draft to this point based on the fact that, you know, he's not a first round pick, where they're selected. They didn't really need a quarterback.
Well,
And they go out and get Jalen Hurts.
I think that the way I looked at it, Chris, is they got a quarterback that when they run the Matt Nagy system with Doug Peterson, right? They run that whole system, the Kansas City, Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson. They all run the same kind of system. They don't need a quarterback, but they need a backup that can come in at a moment's notice. I know that Carson Wentz played all 16 games last season, but he's still been hurt in the past. And that's why Nick Foles is a Bear. You needed someone to step in at a moment's notice, and Jalen Hurts is that guy. You look at the way he came in for Tua when he was injured in the SEC championship game, won the SEC championship game for Alabama, stayed, didn't transfer, knew he was going to be the backup, said we're going to battle for it, but he knew he was going to be the backup, wanted to stay with the quarterback's coach because he's the one that recruited him. He wanted to be there for him. Then he transferred, got the opportunity to transfer to Oklahoma, goes to Oklahoma, sets records at Oklahoma, runner-up for the Heisman, takes them to a playoff game, the college football playoffs. He is a winner, off the field, winner, on the field, winner. His accuracy has gotten progressively better every season he's played. He's a quick learner. A lot of people say he's a one-read quarterback. He's a very quick learner. He can learn systems. He is a ideal developmental quarterback. I never said draft him now. He needs to be the starter. I know they have Trubisky. I know they have Nick Foles. But ultimately, if you would have been able to take Jalen Hurts, you could have put him. He could have been probably the backup. You could have traded Trubisky. You want to be really aggressive, Ryan Pace? You want to be super aggressive? Draft Jalen Hurts, trade Mitchell Trubisky, make Jalen the backup, and then the hopes is that Nick Foles plays really well because he has the opt-out. He opts out, leaves, goes to another team, and then you've got your starter who's been sitting there learning under Matt Nagy for an entire year. That's, to me, was the ideal situation. Now, a lot of people say, oh, one-read quarterback, he's not good, he lost his job to Tua, all that kind of stuff. I'm not asking him to step in and be the day one starter. I'm asking him to learn for a year and then come in and be the starter after Nick Foles leaves, because that's the best-case scenario, right? Best-case scenario for Bears fans, Nick Foles balls out, they go, and they go to the playoffs, they win a couple games, hopefully they win the Super Bowl, whatever. But Nick Foles, if he has the option to get out of this contract after this year, and if he plays well, he's going to, and I don't know if the Bears have the money to pay him after this season. So he might be going to a different team, and then you're stuck again. That's the biggest problem.
Do the Bears have money to pay anybody after this season?
I have no idea, yeah. Because here's the thing. Well, here's the problem with also with the Bears not drafting another quarterback this year, right? A good quarterback this year. You're not going to pick up the option on Mitch Trubisky. Adam Schefter tweeted today, it's unlikely. We all know. It's the worst-kept secret in the league, but Adam Schefter kind of put the Adam Schefter blue check mark behind it today that said it is unlikely that the Bears are going to pick up his option, right? Nick Foles has the opt-out. If he plays well, he's going to opt out. Trubisky is going to be gone. What are you going to do at quarterback next season?
To me, Ryan Pace has backed himself into a corner where the Bears are going to have to draft a quarterback in the first round. So,
ooh.
Well, and then you say, okay, if you're an optimistic Bears fan, you're assuming all that you just said, Nick Foles playing well, the team playing well, they get wins, right? So they're not going to be drafting in the top 10. So you're going to be drafting a quarterback in the 20s, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a great situation.
Here's
that's why our last caller who brought up Jalen Hurts, to me, going into the draft, I thought that would be something to kind of look at. I thought Jalen Hurts has everything we're looking at for a quarterback that you hope to develop. We talked to Brett Coleman last week on the show, and he gave us a scouting report on Jalen Hurts heading into the draft. This is what Brett Coleman had to say.
I think it's because they remember his freshman and most of his sophomore year at Alabama when he wasn't accurate. Like, that is a fair statement to say that early in his college career, he was not an accurate quarterback, but things change. You know, if you spend 4 years in college football and you go to the quarterback whisperer that is Lincoln Riley, who has developed three straight transfer quarterbacks to be viable first-round talents, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts, you know, for some reason people don't understand that quarterbacks can get better between the ages of 18 and 22. Like, that is not a new thing, and Jalen Hurts just flat-out got better. You look at statistically, you mentioned that thread that I posted, and he's a more accurate quarterback than Justin Herbert and Jordan Love, and it's not really particularly close. When you look at that OU offense, people think it's just quick game and screens. That is not accurate. They threw only 40 screens all year long. That's about 11% screen rate, which is probably about NFL average. You look at Justin Herbert, he was throwing screens 23% of the time, which no starting NFL quarterback has ever done that. In terms of passes 10-plus yards past the line of scrimmage, meaning working the intermediate and deep passing game, Hurts was throwing it down the field 45% of the time. That was better than any other top college prospect in this class, even Burrow and even Tua. And he was throwing, in terms of on-target accuracy on those downfield throws, 75% accuracy, which was third best in college football. So, you know, we're talking about a kid that is an incredible leader, that has shown the ability to get better every single year in college, that has great mobility. He's tough as nails. There's zero health problems with him. And he's just an accurate passer that is nowhere near the kind of player he was as a freshman. I don't understand why he's not being talked about as a first-round talent, because he almost has like a Deshaun Watson-type quality to me, where it's third and seven, you need a play to be made. He's going to make it. Like, I love everything about Hurts. If Chicago picks him up at pick 43 or whatever you guys are at the top of the second,
right,
that's a home run to me.
Okay, so that's Brett Coleman. He talked to us last week, and then we went on to talk about, like, it reminds me, this whole situation and how it plays out for the Eagles reminds me of the way we talked about Lamar Jackson before the Ravens selected him. And I get it. Yeah, like, the Eagles have a quarterback in Carson Wentz, who's a young quarterback who's very good. So it's not going to play out the same way.
Signed an extension through 2024.
I asked Brett Coleman whether or not teams are going to regret passing on Jalen Hurts because we're talking about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
And, you know, you mentioned that Baylor game. I actually just watched it back the other day just because I wanted to refresh myself on what exactly happened. So he had a pick in the first half in that game. And it was off like a pump and go switch concept. And the thing with that pick, he was throwing it from the far hash. The receiver, before Jalen even was throwing the ball, the receiver was turning back and looking for it. So if a DB is hauling butt to get down the field because he got rubbed off the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden he sees the wide receiver look for the ball, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to stop and look for the ball. So if the corner's looking for it before Jalen can even get it out of his hands, because the receiver's looking for it way too early and not pressing his route down the field, especially coming from the far hash, yeah, it's going to be a pick. And unfortunately, Jalen threw it, but I would really more put that on the receiver pointing the defensive back right to the ball with his eyes from the start of the play. Now, there were some fumbling problems in that game, which is really the main concern that I have with Jalen, is he fumbled the ball a lot as a ball carrier, not necessarily in the pocket, but just as a runner. And I think he had 3 fumbles in that game. But you saw in the second half, like you mentioned, CeeDee Lamb was out. He was not playing in the second half. And so he's working with his number 2, 3, and 5 receiver, I think it was. Baylor was bringing pressure like crazy. They were down 25 points, recovering from 3 fumbles and an interception, and he still won the damn game. What more do you want?
So that's Brett Coleman from last week, and we were talking about that Baylor game. And when Jalen Hurts brought the Sooners back, Abdallah and I at the time kind of, like, I remember texting you at that time on that Saturday night saying, man, this guy's a winner. Like, I don't care what the projections say. Like, this dude is the dude that you want leading your team. And then you kind of figure out everything else after that.
You don't need to tell me that Jalen Hurts is a winner. Like, Roll Tide, the dude, they tweeted it out right after. He made Saban cry on the field. He was so proud of him after that SEC championship game. Came in and win when Tua was hurt. Are you kidding me? It's like,
just to update where we're at in the NFL draft, Abdallah, we are at the end of the 6th round, and get this.
The Colts have 3 picks in a row?
The Colts have moved into the back end of the 6th round to tag their 2 picks that they already have. They now have the 211th, 212th, 213th picks in the 6th round. The Seahawks will pick at 214, and then we move to the 7th. That's your update on the NFL draft here on ESPN 1000. Let's go to Justin in Hoffman Estates here on ESPN 1000.
What's going on, guys? How you doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. So I'm calling to kind of touch on the Jalen Hurts situation. I know it was kind of far-fetched to think that the Bears would even draft him, but I feel like there's a deeper reasoning behind why they're not drafting African-American quarterbacks. I believe it is blatant racism by McCaskey. And that's just my thought process on that. I mean, we can look back in time and see that the Bears have only had one franchise African-American quarterback, and that was Cordell Stewart. And that was, I believe, 2003, 2004. And ever since then, we haven't quite seen the Bears pull the trigger on an African-American quarterback. I'm not trying to say that African-American quarterbacks are better than white quarterbacks or whatever, but you know what? They want a white quarterback to be the face of their franchise, and it's just so blatant and easy to see, and nobody really talks about it. It's just, it's gotten to the point where, you know, they draft Trubisky 2nd overall, and according to that year, he was the best overall quarterback, but obviously we passed on Mahomes. We passed on Watson. Why would you... a 1-year starter out of UNC when we could have had a national title winning quarterback that is frankly killing it in Houston?
Yeah, no, I mean, Justin, I appreciate your phone call. You can feel however you like to. I disagree completely that that's the reason why they're not selecting someone like Jalen Hurts. I've seen people say that before. We've gotten the phone calls before.
Yeah. You want to know why they didn't draft Jalen Hurts? Is because they paid Nick Foles. They traded for Nick Foles. That's why they didn't draft, and they have Trubisky, and they have him for one more year. That's why they didn't draft Jalen Hurts.
Listen, if you want to go down that road, I think it's a dangerous road to go down, especially when it's not like they don't draft players like that to begin with. Like, it's not something that I think is valid.
I agree with you.
You can think it if you want, and we appreciate your phone call, Justin, but that's just not, I don't think that that's the case. Let's go to Greg Braggs in St. John, Indiana. Let me guess, before we even put Braggs on, greatest draft under Ryan Pace's belt, and this team is going undefeated. Is that, no. Braggs, is that how?
No, I'm not always Sea Blue Braggs about everything.
Okay.
Come on
All right,
now.
Good. All right, good, good.
I was a little upset at first when we drafted the tight end, but you know, the unfortunate reality, as much as, you know, you would like to be able to draft a guy like Jalen Hurts, you know, and put him in the 3 spot like the Packers or the Eagles just did with backups, even though they have good quarterbacks already, Pace is in a win now mode. Nagy's in a win now mode. They needed day one starters, and that seems to be what they have in Komet and Johnson. I'm really excited about Jalen Johnson. So, you know, you can see that. And maybe this Darnell Mooney, you know, because for me, I wanted the wide receiver at 43, and I was looking at a guy like KJ Hamler. Maybe a Mooney here in this later round will be a home run hit at the end, but you just never know this late in the draft. But they do have an opportunity to still draft a quarterback as a, you know, developmental guy. And there's some guys out there, Anthony Gordon, for one, who some thought would be off the board by now, and Cole McDonald, I think are two interesting names to maybe consider, either in the seventh round or if they go undrafted. And then maybe, you know, I don't know if I'm sold on Eddie Pinheiro. I know a lot of people don't talk about the kicker anymore. That was the biggest topic of last offseason. But, I, you know, to me, Eddie Pinheiro made me nervous, you know, from the second half of the season on. And I know he had injury problems at times. But, you know, a guy like Rodrigo Blankenship, I believe, is still on the board. So those are some of the names that I'm looking at here in the seventh round. You know, I think the Bears have done a nice job. You know, it's not, an A-plus black. But
well, I was just preparing. I usually know how you come running in off the top rope to call cap. I know how that works.
We get a different
brags in the stadium when you stop by my seats in the stadium, but then you call in on Monday morning and you're like, hey, Cappy, they're being haters.
You know, so the drinks are flowing at the stadium.
With
okay?
us, he'll be measured, and then
the beer goggles have the truth.
Monday when he calls in a Waddle and Sylvie, he'll be like, guys, Cole Kmet's the greatest tight end ever. Baby Gronk 2.0. Baby Gronk, let's do this.
We are not calling him Baby Gronk. Don't even put that on the airwaves.
Oh, you know that's going to happen.
Anything.
Hey there, they got the Baby Gronk.
2.0, because 1.0 didn't work.
Baby anything. I like that he's from Chicago. I like the story. I wasn't happy at first, but it was more about the guys they passed on more than him himself. But
Greg, shout out real quick.
I got Logan Square Mark out there. He's my guy.
Okay, you done with the shout outs? You remember the last time the Bears drafted someone with a great story? He wrote in.
I know.
Yeah, his name. Say his name.
You know, they're having a meeting with
say
him.
Say his
he talks
name,
about
Greg.
How much he loves being on the
what?
Bears.
What's going on?
Greg, say the last draft pick that had a great story. Say his name.
His name is Mitchell Trubisky, and his story is...
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We lost connection.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Finally in the seventh round of the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears have two selections in the seventh round. They'll be coming up at 225 and 226 and 227, back-to-back picks for Ryan Pace in the seventh here in the NFL draft. Black and Abdallah talking football with you here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Cole Kmet was selected number 43rd overall, the Bears' first pick this season. The tight end from Notre Dame, Abdallah, last year hit 43 receptions for 515 yards and 6 touchdowns, a part of a very good Fighting Irish squad last year for Brian Kelly.
Yeah, and I think that this is a good pick for the Bears. They had a needed tight end. Brings them to double-digit tight ends. That's the joke. But He had more touchdowns than 9 tight ends combined. So they needed a tight end for the future. The Jimmy Graham is not here for the future. Jimmy Graham is here to to make $9 million is why Jimmy Graham is here. Yep. Cole Kmet is a tight end for the future. Now, I don't agree with where they picked him or how they picked him, but ultimately, he is a good player and should from a good program in Notre Dame. He's a local kid. Is a Bears fan. It's a dream scenario for him, and he should be a good, productive tight end for the Bears in Matt Nagy's offense.
Notre Dame last season went 11-2, and one of our favorite football guests throughout the college football season is Pete Sampson from The Athletic. He covers Notre Dame. You can follow him on Twitter at @PeteSampson_. And Pete joins us now here on ESPN 1000. Pete, when we look back at what Cole Kmet was able to do for the Fighting Irish in three seasons, how would you kind of sum up his play down in South Bend?
You just never really felt like you got the best out of him because he had the high ankle sprain as a sophomore, broken collarbone as a junior. So his career, to me, it reminded me a lot of Kyle Rudolph from about 10 years ago, where big-time, prototypical tight end who's gone on to an awesome career with the Vikings, but just really banged up, three and out at Notre Dame as well. And I think Kmet's kind of in that mold, too, where you just look at him and be like, God, this guy's going to have a better NFL career than he had a college career. You know, his big moment was at Georgia, was the best player for Notre Dame by far in that game, over 100 yards, touchdown, at a place where they actually had to have him come up big. So, I think he's going to, you know, like you guys said, he's a tight end for the future in a lot of ways, should be 6, 7, 8, 9 year pro. I think that highly of him.
As far, you mentioned the Georgia game last year. How did he perform in some of Notre Dame's, besides that game, in some of their biggest games of the season as they faced tougher competition?
I mean, he was good when he was on the field. You know, he was sort of a guy that teams had to key on, got a lot of double teams, opened some things up for Chase Claypool on the outside, who was, you know, went in the second round of the Steelers. I mean, Notre Dame was, they didn't have a lot of great options in the pass game last year or the run game, frankly. So it was sort of a two-weapon offense. He was one of the two weapons. But, I mean, I think when they needed him, he was their go-to target. You know, it was just unfortunate that he had the high ankle sprain and the broken collarbone. And you know, you feel like you got about 1 3/4 solid seasons out of him over 3 years. You know, if he had come back for his senior year, I think he would have been probably a mid first round pick, late first round pick, you know, and you know, probably the number one tight end of the country.
Pete Sampson from The Athletic covers Notre Dame football, talking with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So, you know, we're kind of discussing his play on the field, and I know it's disappointing based on some injuries. And Pete, you mentioned the options on offense for the Fighting Irish. Is it surprising and kind of underwhelming that he only had 43 receptions last season?
I guess I wouldn't say that it was underwhelming that he had 43 receptions just because he missed two games. I believe if he had played a full season, he would have set the Notre Dame tight end record for reception. So it's kind of hard to sit there and say that would be underwhelming considering the tight ends that have come out of Notre Dame. You just felt like if he was totally healthy the entire time, had a full training camp, that you know he could have smashed the Notre Dame single season record for tight ends. You know, 65, maybe even 70 catches. I think that was sort of the goal for Notre Dame's offensive coordinator Chip Long to really wear him out in last year's scheme, and it just didn't really happen. You know, based on that early injury, and then you know teams started to try to take him away, but you know, as an inline blocker, as a guy who can get down the seam and run away from people, as a guy who can go up and high point the football, it's hard to find guys who are 6'5", 6'6", 260 who can get off the ground like Cole Kmet can. And I think that's sort of where that dual sport athleticism comes in. I just think he's a really unique athlete for that size.
As a team with more holes on the offensive line in the Chicago Bears, how is Kmet as a blocker?
I'd say he's fine. You know, nobody's going to go in the second round as a blocking tight end, but I wouldn't say he's a liability. I'd just say that he's fine. You know, certainly his strength is getting, you know, out in the flat, getting down the seam, stressing linebackers and safeties. But you know, he's not somebody that I think on third and goal at the one you're going to be like, run behind Cole Kmet. I think he's just a good blocker, but I wouldn't say that's the strength of his game.
Off the field, is there anything of note that comes to mind when looking at Cole Kmet, his background? I know he's from Arlington Heights. He grew up a Bears fan. Is there anything else that you would want to add to paint the picture of this player?
I mean, you know, his uncle, Jeff Anzagne, played in the pros. Frank Kmet, his dad, played at Purdue. You know, his brother Casey's on the baseball team at Notre Dame. He just came from a family of athletes. So it's, you know, he's sort of been
gearing to this his whole life. Should be a great locker room guy. I mean, I have zero question that, and I mentioned this to some of my friends who cover the Bears, like, he's a great quote, very approachable. You know, you guys will like dealing with him. It's like, from the Chicago beat media, it's a big win. You know, we can get high draft picks who are good with the media, and Cole Kmet definitely will deliver in that regard.
We do have a lot of Notre Dame fans in the area. Ian Book is going to return for his fifth season at Notre Dame. It'll be Brian Kelly's 11th season with the team. What's the outlook for Notre Dame this season after losing some pieces to the draft?
I think that they should be comparable to what they were last year, sort of a 10-2 type of team. I don't think that they have necessarily a Cole Kmet or a Chase Claypool back on offense right now. They're going to really have to develop some younger talent, but defensively, I think they've got an outside linebacker named Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who could be a first or second round pick this time last year. A safety named Kyle Hamilton, so I think will be a first round pick in 2 years. So, I mean, they've got some nice pieces, but they definitely lost their two best weapons offensively. So, you know, can they build from around the lines with five starters back on their offensive line and a fifth-year senior quarterback, Ian Book? I feel like they should be very, very good, but, you know, can they go out and get Clemson in South Bend on November 7th? You know, not that we're already counting down to this game and hopefully it happens, but, you know, that's, I think, the true measure of Notre Dame's season is can they go out and beat somebody elite, and that they will get Clemson in South Bend in early November at night. That's as good a chance as you're going to get if you're Notre Dame.
Thank you, Pete. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
That's Pete Sampson from The Athletic, covers Notre Dame football, and you can follow him on Twitter at @PeteSampson_.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Talking about Cole Kmet, the Bears pick at 43 in the second round on day two of the NFL draft. You know, I asked Pete Sampson the question if we should have expected maybe a little bit more production from Cole Kmet in the Notre Dame offense. And the reason I asked that question, Abdallah, is because if you look at the game logs from last season, I get it. He was very, very good for the Fighting Irish. The 43 receptions, the 6 touchdowns, the 515 yards on the season. But if you look at it, he had 4 games where he had 2 receptions. So, like, if you're that good of a tight end in college football, shouldn't you be getting the ball a little bit more than twice in a couple of those games? I get maybe you can throw out the Ball State game or the Bowling Green game because the Fighting Irish won 52-0. So you could make the argument, yeah, like he probably didn't play many snaps. But like when you face off against Duke, you face off against Iowa State, you go against Michigan, and against Michigan, you're 2 receptions for 25 yards. You get a touchdown, but when I think of Travis Kelce, when I think of Zach Ertz, I think of guys who are getting 8 receptions per game. I wonder if Cole Kmet will be able to be that type of player for the Chicago Bears.
Well, part of it is, and you and I talk about Notre Dame a lot, and we also talk about how great is Ian Book, actually. You know what I mean? Like, you can only catch balls that are thrown to you.
Okay, well.
Well, and yes, I know.
You know exactly how I'll volley this right back at you. You're going to hit it at me, and I'm going to say, okay, well, here is Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky.
Not looking good. I just think that when you look at the Notre Dame offense, there was always something lacking, and it was a more than a game manager. I know that Ian Book won a couple games in the last drive for you, but ultimately, there's a reason that they went 10-2 every year or 9-3 every year, something like that, right? There's a reason that they're not in that college football playoff more often, and it is because you don't have a difference maker at quarterback. If you don't have a difference maker at quarterback, the rest of your offense suffers, including Cole Kmet. And, you know, Pete Sampson told us there was something lacking there, and whether it was the production, whether it was something like that, or just the use of him in the offense. I think Matt Nagy will be able to get more out of him. I've said this for the last 2.5 hours or 2 hours that you and I have been on, Chris. I like the picks. Cole Kmet is a good player. He is a good tight end. He should fit well with Matt Nagy's system. I don't like that they took him at 43 necessarily. I feel like you could have gotten him earlier. And some of the other moves that Ryan Pace has made leave something, much like Ian Book, something to be desired.
So we are following along with the NFL draft. The Bears selections are 4 picks away. We have the Cardinals, the Titans, Minnesota, and Jacksonville all ahead of Chicago.
Trade up?
No trade. I'm just giving you the alert. We are 4 picks away here in the 7th round. The final 2 picks for Ryan Pace here in the draft: Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson, Trevis Gibson, Kildare Beldor, and Darnell Mooney. The draft class to this point, the 3 5th-round selections from today, and then the 2 number 2 second-round picks from yesterday for Ryan Pace. He will then pair 2 7th-rounders here in the next couple of minutes, and we will bring you those picks here as we go here on ESPN 1000. Here's Ryan Pace last night talking about Cole Kmet.
This is really your classic, you know, wide tight end with the prototypical size and just the athleticism we look for in the position. He's a big target, natural hands. He's really tough after the catch, and he has the strength and the temperament we want in the run game. And really, we feel like his blocking is still improving, so there's a lot of upside in that area. You know, really, with Cole, you know, splitting time between baseball and football early in his college career, like, he's still a young player with a lot of upside. And then you go beyond the physical traits, guys, just the outstanding makeup and the character. You know, our scouts, you know, Scott Hamill, Jeff Shiver, Chris Prescott, are scouts in the Midwest that go through that part of the country. And I thought they did an excellent job on Cole from the jump and just the evaluation process. And we're lucky to have him.
So that's Ryan Pace last night. Here's Cole Kmet also last night on the teleconference after he was selected by the Chicago Bears. Will he be more productive in the pros with the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just, I think, part of system stuff. And, you know, I was also hurt the first 2 games of the year this past year. So, I mean, that obviously takes away from some of the production numbers that you see. But, you know, just kind of continuing to work on my things in terms of route running and, you know, obviously still working on my blocking and stuff. So, you know, just continuing to work on my route running and, you know, my speed and all that type of stuff. And that'll just kind of help translate, you know, as the year goes on next year.
Cole Kmet last night on the teleconference also talked about who he patterns his game after.
Yeah, for me, when I really started to play tight end, it was Greg Olsen for a little bit before they traded him. But, you know, for me, always watching Brian Urlacher was just a lot of fun on defense, you know. So that he was a guy that I just really loved watching growing up.
So that's Cole Kmet. And then also Abdallah. I mean, listen, hometown kid from Arlington Heights goes to Notre Dame. So Arlington Heights to South Bend, mm-hmm. back to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. It's a great story.
I think if you're a kid that grows up in this state, in the northern suburbs, the western suburbs, the south suburbs, and you're a Bears fan, is there a better pipeline than the South Bend back to Chicago? That storyline is fantastic. Notre Dame product back to the Chicago Bears. Here's the kid that grew up here in the state of Illinois getting the call from the Bears. Here's Cole Kmet.
I mean, it was just my, you know, it was just my immediate family here and my girlfriend, and we were kind of waiting around, and, you know, as the, you know, picks kind of kept coming in, wasn't really sure where I was going to be going, but I knew it was probably going to be soon. And then I got a call, and the call dropped, and then I got a FaceTime call. The FaceTime call dropped, and then the FaceTime call came again, and then I opened it up, and it was Coach Nagy, and he was telling me that they were going to use their 43rd pick on me, and I was so pumped up.
So that's Cole Kmet last night. The Bears' first pick in this year's draft at number 43 in the 2nd round. The tight end out of Notre Dame is now a Chicago Bear. Okay. So have you ever been in that situation? You need to complete a phone call, send a text message, maybe even tweet out something, which it doesn't necessarily apply, but I've been there where you want to do something and then the call fails. The text won't go through. You can't actually send the tweet. You can't do anything on your phone because it's not working.
You know how many times I've been on the red line during a sneaker drop and I can't get service, and I'm like, this is poor timing by me. The poor timing by me to be on the train at like 8:55 before a sneaker drop or 9:55 before a sneaker drop, and I'm like, I need to get to higher ground. I'm in like some horrible movie, like trying to run to find service. I'm like in Lost. I'm Saeed from Lost running around trying to find a tower to get the signal out so we can be found.
Like, could you imagine? You're like, oh, hold on. Someone's actually calling. Is that an 847 area code trying to FaceTime and you can't get it through? You can't get the connection? And then finally it's Matt Nagy's face? I mean, it's a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic story. You can't dislike that story. If you dislike that story, you have no soul.
No, it's a great... That's the
conclusion I have here. You have no soul if you don't like the Cole Kmet story.
The only criticism I have is what way that Ryan Pace has been drafting. I like Cole Kmet. He's a great kid. But should be good for the Bears.
The way that Pace drafts has nothing to do with Cole Kmet's
exactly.
story.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he's going to be good.
Yeah.
It just,
I'm rooting for him.
I don't get why there's so much value left on the board.
I just want it on record that you and I like Cole Kmet, and we are rooting for him.
Why do you have to put that on record?
I
think people have been listening to the show.
On the tape.
Are you suggesting that perhaps individuals out there take things that we say and then ignore what we actually say and then twist it and then tweet thoughts
out? I would say that someone could take that and twist it around and say that the haters are in the building.
What do you mean, take that? You mean that statement?
They could take that statement
okay.
and twist it around if they, or the way right. that we are talking about Ryan Pace and his uh-huh. ability to draft, or the way he gets sure. draft picks, or robbing from next year's draft when there's going to be yeah. another GM here to draft for this year. I could understand how someone would take that
right. okay.
and flip it on us.
And you're saying there's a shot. Not no shot, but there's a shot that someone may hear what we're saying and not use like nuance and kind of put piece together all the different layers to this situation.
I would say that
there's a possible shot that could be taking place.
There is no shot of listening, but the twisting could still happen. Someone could still take that the wrong way or just assume our takes, and we know how what happens when you assume things.
The Bears pick in two picks. Titans are on the
picks.
Clock, then the Vikings, and then the Bears get doublers.
Unless they trade up. Ooh, the Bears have picks back-to-back. Do you think Pace could trade with himself?
Do you think he just takes one person and then sits there?
And just goes, nope. Oh, it's me? No, oh no!
Let's the clock run out and then the auto draft kicks in. The Bears have selected a punter.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
With the 266th pick in the 7th round. Is that who the Bears selected? Really?
I love it.
I hope this guy starts from day one.
He sounds like an offensive lineman. It just sounds like it. Say the name.
Or a movie star.
Nope. Arlington Hambright.
Offensive tackle. Colorado.
Arlington Hambright.
All right, so that's who the Bears have selected with their first selection here in the 7th round. He is a 6'4", 307-pound offensive tackle from Colorado. Arlington Hambright.
Arlington Hambright.
At 226, and the Bears are on the clock, and their pick is in the second pick of theirs, which is at 227. So the Bears finally get some offensive line help, something that all of us have pointed out to was a need heading into the draft. Finally, they select someone here in the 7th round at 226.
His name sounds like one of those things where it's like your porn name is the town you're from.
Yes, Arlington. The last
thing you ate plus Bright.
Yeah, or it's
Arlington Ham Bright. Another offensive lineman. Give me the sound. With the 227th pick in the seventh round, the Bears, or in the NFL draft, the Bears select Lekavius Sivins.
All right.
Offensive tackle out of Tennessee State.
And there you have it. There's the draft. There's your Ryan Pace draft.
Super Bears, Super Bowl, Super Bears, Super Bowl.
All right, so Pace waited until the seventh round to address the offensive line.
I mean, that's where you find the best offensive lineman, I think, seventh round, right?
No, it's not.
Isn't that where they found Charles Leno? Wasn't he a seventh round pick?
I mean,
Arlington Hambright.
Okay, so we got the Hamburglar, and we've got, who's this other guy?
Lekavius Sivins.
We got Sivins and the Hamburglar.
All right. There you go, Bears fans. You got your offensive lineman. Shut up. Right? That's what they wanted.
Who are you talking to?
Bears people who wanted offensive linemen. You wanted offensive linemen. Pace got you offensive linemen. And I will say this. I will say this.
Yeah.
The man who said you should draft a quarterback every year has yet to draft a quarterback every single year.
It really is unbelievable.
Once again, does not draft a quarterback.
The most important position in all of professional sports. Yet he does not address the position enough to find the next great quarterback. You see the Eagles. You see the Colts. You see many other teams who have starting quarterbacks selecting quarterbacks. Why? So they could hopefully find the next best quarterback. And if they don't use them, they use them for draft assets. Look at the Colts right now. The Colts have three quarterbacks. They do.
If you have three quarterbacks, Chris, do you have any quarterbacks?
Jacoby Brissett. Jacob Eason, and then Philip Rivers.
Yes, you put Philip Rivers third.
No, what I'm saying is, like, you have three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles have a franchise quarterback who is possibly a top 10 quarterback, MVP caliber quarterback in Carson Wentz. They get Jalen Hurts. The Chicago Bears have Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles, and nothing behind that.
Nope.
So that means next year you have to draft a quarterback.
Ugh.
You have to. There's no question to it. That's what next year's draft will be, is drafting quarterbacks, because it's what you have to do. It's not planning for the future. Ryan Pace never plans for the future.
Well, and the outlook at quarterback is not good.
No.
Because if you look at the 2021 NFL draft quarterbacks, It's two guys, right? It's Trevor Lawrence, it's Justin Fields out of Ohio State. That's it. Because after that, you look at the rankings right now, you've got Jamie Newman at Georgia. Jake Fromm last started at Georgia. This guy hasn't even played for Georgia. Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M. KJ Costello out of Mississippi State. Sam, can I interest you in a Sam Ellinger out of Texas? Are the Bears going to be back with Sam Ellinger?
Probably not.
Out of Texas. Yeah, exactly.
I'll take a pass.
Okay, then what are you doing next year at quarterback?
All right, 312-332-3776. That's it for Bears picks in the draft, guys. If you want to call us, how do you look at what Ryan Pace has accomplished this weekend? Now, there are some picks left here in the seventh round, quite a few. They're almost about halfway, and the Bears don't have any more picks. I would assume he won't trade into the seventh round. Is that a safe way to assume this?
Ryan Pace has traded next year's third to the Green Bay Packers for a seventh round of pick.
So this is the draft class, and at 227, they get Lekavius Sivins from Tennessee State. He's an offensive guard, 6'5", 304 pounds. There is no draft bio on ESPN.com for him. And at 226, the Bears' first pick in the seventh round, Arlington Hambright. From Colorado, the offensive tackle. 6'4", 307 from Colorado. So those
like
are
he
the
just
two.
Sounds like a big ugly dude.
Yeah, I like that. I'm cool with that. So Hambright and Sivins, the guard and the tackle on the offensive line, are the seventh round selections. So now we can kind of look at what the Bears have done to this point. And you get Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson, Travis Gibson, Kendall Vildor, Darnell Mooney, and then Hambright and Sivins round out in the seventh round picks. You get the three individuals in the fifth round earlier today, and then the two second round picks from yesterday. you take a look at this draft class, your first reaction on how this went for Ryan Pace this year in the draft?
Again, we've been talking about it a lot. My first reaction is good players, but I don't like the method in which they got there. I think that you could have a proper way to get that fifth-round pick, that extra fifth-round pick that they traded for before their actual fifth-round pick, the one where they took Travis Gibson. The best way to me to do that, like, and Cole Kmet's probably going to be a great player. He's got all the askings that you want for in a tight end. I think you could have traded 43, moved back in the second round, gotten a fifth-round draft pick for it, and you could have still taken Cole Kmet later in the second round, got that fifth-round pick. You didn't have to trade next year's fourth to the Vikings, I might add, for that pick to get Travis Gibson. I think it's the players are there, right? The players are good. They're good names. Jalen Johnson might be the best player out of this draft class. I think he's poised to be. He's one of the better players on one of the better defensive teams in college football. He's just got to get over the injury. So there's a check against Jalen Johnson is maybe the injuries. Cole Kmet had some injury problems. Maybe a check against him. They don't seem like lingering things. But though Jalen Johnson's injury sounds like a lingering problem that the Bears are going to have to deal with during his career. Then you trade back into the fifth round to get Travis Gibson. I don't like trading back in and giving up assets next year. We'll see how that plays out. You get Kendall Vildor from the cornerback. You get a wide receiver who's really fast but had a lot of drops. He had 18% of his passes were dropped last season in his career, during the last season of his career. And then you finally address the offensive line with maybe the best name in the draft in Arlington Hamburglar as he comes out.
Hambright. It's Arlington, not Hamburglar. I was making a joke.
Arlington Hambright.
I mentioned that on ESPN.com there were no draft bios for the two offensive line players that the Bears just selected.
Do you need a bio on Arlington Hambright? Well, he's an offensive lineman named Arlington Hambright.
I'm just pointing out that they're not the only ones. Pro Football Focus also did not have Simmons, who was 227 on their draft board, nor did they have Hambright at 226 on the Pro Football Focus draft board. Back in 2 minutes with your phone calls on the Bears draft.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.